anyway, we'll get this overturned when we get some decent, right-thinking people back in the house again. But for right now, Bob, I'd like you to know that I'm very, very happy to know you're still out there swinging away. And I, as soon as I can get to my desk, I will help along with this issue that you mentioned earlier, the funding issue.
We do appreciate it, Rick. Guy James appreciates it.
No, I appreciate it. You're my
voice. Thank you very, very much.
You're my voice. Appreciate it, Guy.
I'm proud to call you my friend.
Sorry for the wet blanket. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, Rick. Ain't no wet blanket. This is reality. This is the life that is lived. This is the life as it is lived, not the fantasy world that the right wing lives in. The bastards. Let's take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is America's liberal voice. This is your voice. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Okay, we're back, and I want to go to keeping people waiting on the phones, and I hate to do that. But I gotta share some things with you and then write back to it. Our friend Teresa up in Canada writes, I was moved to tears by the story of the woman suffering from a brain tumor and being arrested for using marijuana to alleviate her symptoms. My father-in-law passed away a few years ago from an aggressive brain tumor. He suffered terribly, but was able to achieve some relief by smoking marijuana, which improved his appetite and helped with the pain. Unfortunately, the tumor took him from us quickly, but at least he had some measure of comfort from smoking pot. It also gave our family precious time to spend with him when he wasn't in pain and was able to join us for family dinners and conversation. The arrest of this poor woman is emblematic of the lack of humanity in the justice system in the U.S. It's all about politics, punishment, and big business. Punishment is big business. Teenagers sent to jail for life for minor drug offenses, 10-year-olds charged as adults, capital punishment, and torture boy Gonzalez can stand in front of the American people and say, yes, I'm responsible, mistakes were made. No, I'm not resigning. No, I'm not sorry. Teresa says, I grieve for America. And see, that's the question I have to... We have had from the Republican Party for yea, verily, lo, I tell thee, brothers and sisters, since the dawning of the age of Reagan, we have had foisted off on us this notion of personal responsibility. And you know what? I'm getting on board. I'm getting on the personal responsibility bandwagon. You know why? Because I want to dole out a little personal responsibility. You low-life, scum-sucking, miserable who voted for George W. Bush. Take personal responsibility. Own it, sunshine! Take personal responsibility, you Republican voters. Take responsibility for Angel Rach. who with a thing growing in her head is getting dragged over the coals by a Republican Justice Department gone absolutely hog wild, mad, crazy with a punishment fetish. The way this administration behaves, if it was between two slick covers, it'd have to go in the pornography section. Take personal responsibility while you're at it. For a guy named Richard Payton to see it's not just the marijuana. Yeah, that's just weed. That ain't even a, I mean, that's, you know, of course. Because, you know, you smoke that marijuana, next thing you know, you're running the heroin up your arm. Because it's a gateway drug. God, I hate them. Florida Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from Richard Payton, who's in a wheelchair. He's a father of three. He's doing 25 mandatory in Florida for taking his own pain meds. He's got multiple sclerosis, Richard Payton does. And he's also got horrible sequelae from the aftermath of a botched malpractice back surgery. He gets twice as much morphine in prison as he was allowed to have on the outside. And he was convicted for forging opioid prescriptions because when he moved down to Florida, he didn't realize that in Florida they are so bug spray crazy in the war on drugs that he'd never be able to find a doctor who would engage in meaningful pain management for him. Mr. Payton describes his own pain. He says it for him it feels like his legs have been dipped into a furnace. He's a lawyer. He was educated in the Ivy League. He's got no priors. Weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, the narcs watched him, and never once did they catch him selling anything. And the Florida Supreme Court has said it will be just fine by them for him to spend the effective rest of his natural life, 25 hard, in the Florida prison system. No evidence of trafficking. And in fact, the weight of drugs that he was convicted for getting was almost exclusively Tylenol. Let's see. This is the sweet part. The majority opinion of the Florida Supreme Court suggested that Payton ask mercy and clemency from the governor. They said that his plea for mercy, quote, does not fall on deaf ears, but it falls on the wrong ears. Where in the sweet name of God, where is the activist court? There was, of course, a dissent. Judge James Seals said that the sentence was, quote, illogical, absurd, unjust, and unconstitutional, and noted that Mr. Payton, quote, could conceivably go to prison for a longer stretch for peacefully but unlawfully purchasing 100 oxycodone pills from a pharmacist than had he robbed the pharmacist at knife point, stolen 50 oxycodone pills, which he intended to sell to children waiting outside, and then stabbed the pharmacist. I'm sorry, I'm going to get letters about, oh, Bob, you're screaming again. Stop screaming, oh, Bob. Damn, is there a time in this country when we start screaming? And there will be another email about, oh, Bob, why aren't you screaming about 9/11? These are people! in the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, Republicans, damn you. Damn you. Take responsibility. Take personal responsibility for what you, with your damned vote, by God, did to Angel Raich and to what you have done to Richard Payee. You damned Republicans. Take personal responsibility for once in your sad, sorry, hypocritical, stinking, miserable lives. Take responsibility! But they won't. Not long till November 2008, and we're going to hear it again. We're going to hear it again, and 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 again, about how they're the Family Values Party. Where's your family values for a woman trying to raise two children and being tormented with your tax dollars because she's trying to stay alive? Where is your family value, Republicans, for a father of three busted for doing less than Rush Limbaugh did? Where is it? Luke joins us on the phones from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Even Bob.
I'm all better now.
Every time they do that, I thought he'd just have a nice big picture of Rush up there. Anytime somebody stands up for drug sentencing and say, give me the same kind of sentence you gave Rush.
Yeah. Now, he didn't do what Rush did.
I know.
Rush engaged in a criminal conspiracy to obtain these drugs. He didn't even bother to forge the prescriptions.
Once upon a time,
Richard Payee had real prescriptions.
Well, the thing that used to bug me was the number of pills he had legally made him a pusher.
They had to. He couldn't have taken them all.
Pills. And I think in like Florida where it was, I think it's just like 1,000. If you have over 1,000 pills, you're considered... You know, you have it for resale.
Well, apparently, according to the way that Mr. Payee was sentenced, they weigh the pills.
Yeah. But like I say, the volume he had, he should have been tried as a drug dealer. Oh, well, you know how it is.
Yeah, I mean, he should be doing a Medellin cartel kind of a drug sentence.
Well, going on to something you were talking about earlier, about the purity valve, let's just go ahead and put them in the beekeeper suit. I think it'd be much easier. Just this time we'll put a lock on them.
Well, that's why I said what I did. You know, the fundamentalists in this country are 50 years away tops from female circumcision.
Oh, God. Sometimes, like I was telling you, you just hear this thing and you're just sitting there going, what country am I in?
I know. It's like because we attack them suddenly, Afghanistan and fundamentalist Iraq has somehow rubbed off on us. And these people want to tell us, Luke, that we're going to lose our freedom over a dirty word on a television? We're losing it already.
Well, you know how it is. Apparently the fundies saw what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and said, oh, that's the part we like. Oh, God. The article I sent you today, that most people, I haven't heard anything even mentioned on it. The thing about the House passing the Freedom of Information Act upgrade and the Presidential Papers thing and all that. And the funny part was when you're sitting there looking at them, they were passing those things by veto-proof margins. And I'm sitting there going, please let Georgia veto it, please.
And, well, the other thing is what happens when it gets to the Senate.
Well, I know. But like I say, on some of those, what you saw was something. What was it passed today or late yesterday? There was something passed with 60 votes in the Senate, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Well, the vote to debate the Iraq War was 89-9.
Well, there was something that passed yesterday or day before, or I can't remember what it was. It was like 60-38. And I was sitting there kind of going, you know, what was it? Oh, shoot. It was something the last 2 days, and it was like somebody said online, said, I'd really like to see that list of 38 of them and ask them, how can you do this? You know.
Very well paid to do so, yes.
I know. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, say, on some of these things, if they can force something up to his desk and he's threatened to veto, I'd put it on his desk and say, do it. Come on, sunshine, put your name on the line so we can sit there and hold it up and says, this is what he voted against. You know, we passed
it. Well, you know, he's threatened to veto the troop funding bill if there's any kind of so-called strings attached to the funding that requires, you know, at some point that the troops be brought home. He's threatened to veto it. Fine, George, veto it. And we'll, you know, people like me, people like Malloy, all over the country will tell the nation that you just voted down funds for the troops.
That's right. George, you don't support the troops. We're going to do to you what you've been doing to us for the last 6 years.
Why do you hate the troops, George?
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what. The other one I sent you I think was pretty good. How did you like the thing about the guy that worked for Outdoor Life, Jim Zumbo?
Yeah, the big game hunter who just wandered into the crosshairs of the NRA.
Just because he was doing some story, I believe it was on hunting, and he talked to some of the local guide people, and said that, well, some of these people are showing up here with essentially what were assault rifles, and he essentially said, you don't need assault rifles to do this.
No, and back in my deer hunting days, there was always a guy who would show up, you know, with a banana clip. And
if you need that many shells, you don't need to be using a gun.
Well, yeah, right. You're as likely to hit it by throwing it as by shooting it. Because what would happen is we'd be sitting there just quiet as mice. You know, I mean, you know how it is out there hunting. And some idiot one ridge away, you'd hear him on his four-wheeler. And then he'd come to a stop and you'd hear, blam, 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 blam. And my buddy'd look at me and go, melt the barrel, Daryl.
Well, you know,
and but you'd see him later on, and he would never have a deer on the four wheeler.
Well, the one.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and welcome to Verse 4, Chapter 4, Page 4 and Book 4 of Strictly Confidential on the Head On Radio Network. I am your host, Peter Godbold, and I am so glad to have you along for the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. I am so pleased to have DJ Glenn Rivera here tonight. He is our guest this evening. He is the world's most fabulous DJ. He'll be joining us at 10 p.m. Eastern, and he'll be the first in a series of guests that will provide the hearts and minds of real, live, honest-to-God, everyday GLBT folks. These guests are going to be from all walks of life in the gay community, and it's time we put real voices that the mainstream media's constant word of the use of the word gay, we just need to put voices with it.
Is everybody gay? Is this the Twilight Zone?
I hope these guests will help us all to better understand each other and to open a dialogue that you're going to find no place else on the Internet. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time this has ever been done. The phone lines are throughout the evening. You can reach us toll-free at 877, the number 4 head-on, or 877-443-2366. If you have a toll-free calling plan, you can save us a nickel and dial 304-658-5453 in West Virginia. And I'm receiving email at peter@headonradionetwork.com. We'd love to have you in the chat room. The chat room has the most delightful, progressive, smartest people in the country there. The chat room is available by going to headonradionetwork.com. That's headonradionetwork.com. And just hit the chat button and create your name and join us. We'd love to have you there. I want to thank you for all the wonderful emails and phone calls I've received this week. Strictly Confidential, we've actually gotten through a whole week. And with the exception of Tuesday, a storm knocked out the communications that day to the studio. So with the exception of Tuesday, the week has just gone perfectly, and I'm so pleased. And getting back to the interview with Glenn, I'm probably more nervous about it than he is. I'm just holding the guy in awe, I really do. First up, gay pride. This is a letter that was sent in from a mother, and I just thought it was wonderful. I wanted to share with you and the world how proud I am of my son. He finally came out to his father today. It was his way of celebrating Gay Pride Day. His father said, "No way!" and then gave him a big hug. It was the reaction my son was most hoping for, but not the reaction he expected. I've known for many years that my son is gay, and he's also known that his mom is bi. We've always been open and honest with each other, and I'm crying right now, tears of pride and relief. I'm so glad it went well for him today. It's a loving mother. And in the men in tight department, there are two gay umpires in the Major League Baseball. Well, I know that because a fellow named Tyler Hoffman, who's a gay minor league umpire, knows them well and has face-to-face contact with them, trades emails often. He also says they're not likely to come out anytime in the near future because of the way things are in baseball. Makes you wonder if it's a double entendre when they scream, "You're out!" And this is what I've been dreading. I have put off doing this story, actually, most of the week. It's a difficult story for me to do because it was so upsetting for me. And in fact, I even hesitated to do it tonight because I imagine we have some new listeners. Glenn Rivera's following is far and wide, and I imagine some of them have joined us this evening for Glenn. But nonetheless, I need to get this out. I don't want it to be too much of a downer, but it's a story that must be told. Now, often when I'm doing news information like this, I will try to paraphrase it somewhat to make it sound less like script. But this particular piece is written by a fellow named Ali Healy. He's the head of the Iraq LGBT in England right now because there's a fatwa out to kill him from the Grand Ayatollah. But this is so touching and disturbing that I just need to do this tonight. You know, the Bush administration has been promising us a new and free Iraq, and how much better it will be for the people, and they're going to greet us with flowers in the streets. And the reality of the situation is that women are persecuted far more than they ever were in the past. They're no longer allowed to receive educations. They're back to having the veils. Everyone's under constant threat of death. It's very serious for us LGBT folks. And it's very serious for us because there is, at this point, a sexual extermination or sexual cleansing in progress. Let me tell you the story. During the period of Saddam Hussein, well, in 1995, actually, there was only one known civilian LGBT killed under Saddam. And this is Ali Hadi, head of the Iraqi LGBT, speaking. And since its inception, group in 2005, he's now living in exile in London, as I said. Saddam fell in 2003. And when after Saddam fell and we went over there, 85 known LGBT deaths have been reported to us. I believe the actual number to be far higher. Hussein's removal has made all LGBT people's position far worse. Initially, with all the talk of democracy, I never thought that LGBTs would become death targets, shot like dogs in the street, or that sexual cleansing would be allowed. But so it is. He goes on to say, I didn't face any discrimination under Saddam's regime. He is corroborating other reports that homosexuality was generally tolerated under the dictator. As long as you were discreet about it, it was pretty much okay. But if he goes back to Iraq now, he will be executed, since he heads this organization to try to help. As I say, there's a fatwa or a death warrant against him for the Ayatollah. He stays in close contacts with the LGBT community there, reporting their situation to the outside world. Gay life in Iraq, and this is a quote, is hell. The community is completely underground, and people find it necessary to modify their behavior and appearance just to survive. Shia squads roam, hunt down, and kill LGBTs at will. Kidnapping, abduction, torture, blackmail, execution, all manner of abuse occurs on a daily basis, says Ali. Not the least in cities like Najaf and Karbala and Basra, Baghdad. Now, highly feminine, visible feminine gay folks, and also publicly recognized homosexuals, including prostitutes, are the main targets. Iraqi LGBT helps organize an underground network of safe houses, or havens, to harbor the gays in as many Iraqi cities as possible. Also gathers information in order to publicize the atrocities via media and by writing letters to human rights organizations and government officials worldwide. They just have the unfulfilled hope that it's going to generate international pressure. I certainly don't think any international pressure is going to come from the United States. Much of the recent post-Saddam surge in anti-gay violence, as I mentioned earlier, is related to the Shia leader, Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani. And he's issued a death warrant, a death fatwa to gays and lesbian sexuals. It was issued in October 2005. He's calling for the execution of all gay people in the most severe possible way. Now, there was an international outcry. Of course, the United States did not participate in that. He removed the fatwa from his website, but he did not rescind it. so it remains in full force, and it's the spiritual sanction of the death squads, and they openly are murdering LGBT folks, and there's a new fatwa just released that's for Holly himself, who's in England. Unfortunately, the Iraqi government refuses down on the killers or to take any action to protect its gay citizens. In Holly's eyes, the regime dominated by the Shia fanatics and homophobics are intent on dragging the country back into the dark ages. Several members of government, notably the political representatives of al-Sadr movement and the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution, are linked to the anti-gay death squads. Both of those parties have militias, and they're responsible for the execution-style killing of not only LGBT Iraqis, but also of Sunnis and trade unionists and unveiled women and men wearing shorts or men with Western-style haircuts. Iraq has truly descended into hell. Hilly goes on to tell us there are no pro-gay voices in the government at all. Everyone is afraid of the predominant Iraq Shias. They've infiltrated the Ministry of the Interior and also the police. And many of the atrocities are openly carried out in broad daylight by men wearing official uniforms. He believes that they received the orders to kill these people directly from the Minister of Interior himself. Now, it comes as no surprise to hear that the Iraqi government representative, the UN was brought this up. His response, the Iraqi government representative's response to the UN about the surge in anti-gay killings, was simply, "There was information in this report that we cannot accept in Iraq. It spoke about the phenomenon of homosexuality and giving homosexuals rights. Such statements are not suitable to the Iraq society. This is rejected." Lord help us. You know, the fundamentalist Christians, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, the fundamentalist extremist ones, God deliver us from the fundamentalists of every faith. Murder is their technique. Intolerance is their technique. It's a shame. It proves that the human rights situation has deteriorated under this new regime, especially for minorities. And they all feel threatened and they have no rights. There's no reference to gay folks at all in the government policy. It's as if we do not exist. I think we as American GLBTs understand that feeling. There are no protections under the law, and Shia religious leaders have so much influence in decision-making. In other words, the religion is running the government. And like our religions here, they hate us. Except there, they have the right to just murder you in broad daylight. Here, they kill you with 1,000 paper cuts and leave their little redneck darlings to kill us. Now, with the Iraq's West-backed government part of the problem, meaning the United States, he doesn't look for help from the U.S. or the United Kingdom forces on the ground to help or to intervene at all when LGBTs are victims of violence and the anarchy is just endemic. We don't count on the soldiers to help because in many cases we've seen the coalition forces being hostile toward the Iraq LGBT community. And the Americans and British governments, both of the troops, seem to let the issue of LGBT people fall by the wayside. This is a very sad line. It's as if we are not human at all. God help them. And there was a report issued recently that it's doubtful whether the UN can achieve in any practical terms any solution. He's hoping the UN will intervene. He's been trying to put pressure on them, but he doesn't expect anything. They need international support, but without the United States involved, and they will never be involved as long as this bastard is in office. They're in a pretty helpless situation. He says it won't improve soon. The life for LGBT people in Iraq is going to continue to become more and more dangerous. The fatwa is to eliminate them. It's from the population at all. It shows a complete lack of understanding. And it's the old thing about they choose to be gay, so if we kill them all, then nobody else is going to choose that. Gay people are like Tostitos or what are those things? Doritos. It's like we'll make more. I mean, you can never get rid of us. It's funny. Every gay person I ever met grew up in a heterosexual family. We don't have it with creating them. They just seem to come with the territory. I just have one more section here. Anwar, 34, a taxi driver and a member of the Iraqi LGBT, he helped one of the group's safe houses in Najif, disappeared in January 07. He was arrested in his cab at a checkpoint by the police. His body was found in March 07. He had been subjected to an execution-style killing, a gay man. Nuri, 29, a tailor kidnapped in Karbala, February 07. He'd received many death threats by letters, a phone accusing him of leading a gay life. He was found dead a few days later, his body mutilated and his head severed. Gay man. Hazim, 21, a well-known gay man, was seized by police from his home in Baghdad. His family was forced to leave his home, and his body was subsequently found with multiple gunshots to the head. By the way, these gunshots to the head, they often do that in public. Saif, 25, he's an Iraqi police translator. He was kidnapped in a Sunni neighborhood by Baghdad mass men from the Ministry of Interior. His body was found several days later, his head cut off. 45, a gay chef living in an unpronounceable city. It's a mainly Shia neighborhood. The Sadr military kidnapped him, Sadr military, in November 06, and his decaying body was found in February 07. Khalid, 19, college student, kidnapped 06. Family found his tortured and burned remains a few months later. Hassan, a transvestite, also known as Tamra, worked in the fashion industry designing women's clothes, and she was seized on the street by Islamic Death Squad and hung in a public square on a holy religious day. His body was mutilated and cut up, and when his bride to help him, he was also murdered. And Alan, a Christian Iraqi, received death threats for being gay. He was eventually kidnapped and executed. Lord, what is the world coming to? What have we done to that country? It'll be 1,000 years before we're forgiven for that. If ever, this is an atrocity on the scale of Hitler. The estimates now among credible institutions, there's over 650,000 Iraqi citizens displaced, actually dead. The current figures that oversee and have fled the country and are trying to find housing. And, of course, the United States, the United Kingdom, are both being condemned for refusing to allow asylum, especially to the gay Iraqis, especially. They're only allowing asylum in the U.S. for 7,000 Iraqis out of 7 million, 7,000. And all of those guys have to be straight. It's hard to take. Now, if you'd like to find out more about this, there's a huge amount of information. Go to IraqiLGBT@yahoo.com. I'm sorry, yahoo.co.uk. That's IraqiGBT@yahoo.co.uk. And Bob, let's run a little break here, and then we'll continue after the break.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, and it goes back for years. You know, let's just talk a minute about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called CaloVita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
The music.
Hit the bell. We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
The music.
Hit the bell.
Oh, my. Oh, I hate to hear that fade. I so love that. It's okay. Go ahead and fade it. But oh, that just kicks into it. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. I have something here from Teresa in Ontario. I got a very nice email from her today, and she loves the show, and I love her right back. She sounds like a delightful woman. I hope I hear. Oh, and by the way, the telephone numbers are 877, the number 4, Head On, or 877-443-2366. Or if you have a toll-free calling plan, it's 304-658-5453. That rings in West Virginia. And also we're chatting at the headonradionetwork.com. Just click on chat. Once you get there, register your chat name and pop right in. They'll love you. Teresa sent me this interesting article. A Toronto counselor, her name is Kyle Ray, maybe a woman. I never figured it out from reading it. Officiated at opening ceremonies at Pride Week. This Monday, and announced that all the official events would be interpreted into American Sign Language. And even the singers were asked to submit the lyrics to their songs so that the signing to the deaf people so that the deaf people in the concert could hear it. Now, this ASL news, the American Sign Language, is very heartening. It didn't really drive home a point, though. There's a more serious message behind it, and that is that deaf people are affected by HIV rates, HIV/AIDS at a much higher rate than hearing people. Statistics are slim, but activate that deaf people are actually getting the disease at a rate 2 to 10 times higher than hearing people, and they suspect that the numbers are high because too many members of the deaf community are missing the nuances of safe sex messages and the risks associated with intravenous drug use. The health department suggests that 1 in 7 deaf people has a history of substance abuse compared to 1 in 10 in the hearing population. For decades up there, the deaf outreach program has been poorly funded and it's been a branch of the Ontario Association of the struggle to get the complex message of AIDS and HIV transmission out and safe sex practices to thousands of deaf Canadians and who don't really fully understand the issues. It's spreading rapidly because of lack of information. Now, they've really got their work cut out for them. With American Sign Language, once you have deaf people are paying attention and you're in an environment where they can watch you do signing, the concepts for avoiding HIV can be easily explained using visual sign language. It's not that the concepts cannot be presented using ASL. It's just that they're rarely presented. Television commercials don't do that, provide signing, nor do the schools half the time. There are a lot of issues associated with being deaf and being gay at the same time as many-layered. It's about access to information, and a lot of times their parents don't sign to them. But this is remarkable. One of the folks commented at the end of the article, "Despite being deaf, I'm happy." The person says, "Personally, I have had such a great life because I am deaf and because I am gay." Let me read that again. Because, not in spite of. What a wonderful thing. I'm not deaf. That's obvious. I'm doing a radio program, but I am gay. And I have to tell you that there's no way I would trade that for the world. It has made me what I am. You know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And it certainly made me a different person. It certainly has. Let's see. The Da Vinci Code. Yes. That is up again. The Da Vinci Code is under investigation by the Catholic Church. This is too funny. This is fiction. The Da Vinci Code is fed. Do you get it? It's more than a year after the premiere, but the Da Vinci Code's being investigated by Italian state attorneys on the ground that it's obscene from a religious perspective. Now, earlier in the year, there was a complaint against the film. It was filed by a group of clergy in Italy, and the state prosecutor's office said they were going to open a criminal investigation into the film because it violates Article 528 of Italy's penal code. And it names 10 people, including director Ron Howard. And, of course, this means it's going to go to court. Clear what the unnamed defendants or unnamed complainants are saying. They're not releasing the exact wording of the complaint. So. But if they're found guilty, the defendants will have to have a criminal record, and they'll face jail time of up to 3 years and a fine. And this is all because the Catholic Church doesn't understand that it's fiction. Excuse me, but the Left Behind series, which was huge in the United States, was offensive to me. It portrayed this macho shoot-em-up Christ and inspired video games that people can play on their whatever units people are using. I'm not part of that. But in any case, in these video games, you got points by shooting homosexuals and Jews, because those are the bad guys. Let me go on. The Left Behind series is all about the second coming of Christ and revelations, and everybody's going to be raptured, and suddenly people disappear and their clothes are nicely folded on wherever they were sitting, and this sort of thing. But it was fiction. But the thing is that all the Christians believed it was fact. And so then you have another Christian fiction story they don't particularly like, because it portrayed a Jesus that, a much more feminine, less aggressive, and hateful Jesus, which is just incompatible with anything they can.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Felix made landfall near the Nicaragua-Honduras border this morning with winds in excess of 160 miles per hour, well past the Category 5 stage. Felix is tracking straight west over land now, so the storm is weakening without the ability to draw more warm water from the Gulf of Mexico. However, Central Americans will be inundated with heavy rains. Off the Baja Peninsula, Hurricane Henriette is poised to make landfall at Cabo San Lucas by this afternoon and then sweep across the Sea of Cortez. Arizona, New Mexico, and Upper Mainland Mexico are due for heavy rains and flash floods. President Bush has arrived in Sydney for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. Tomorrow, he and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will meet with Prime Minister John Howard and his cabinet members. Security is tight in the Central Business District, and protesters say that they'll march against the war in Iraq and globalization this Saturday, with or without their court's approval. In Baghdad, an appeals court has upheld the death sentence for three top officials of the Saddam Hussein regime, including Saddam's cousin Chemical Ali. The men were convicted of committing genocide against the Kurds. They'll be hung within 30 days. Also in Iraq, the nation's parliament returns today after recess. In Washington, Congress returns from its summer break. On top of both bodies' agendas is the war and the progress report, which is due next week. The Chinese are denying reports that their military hacked into the Pentagon's computer system in June, shutting down the network of Defense Department Chief Robert Gates. Just a week ago, German Chancellor Angela Merkel claimed that Chinese hackers got into German government ministry.